We're doing the Avat Chesed, and we were learning about the mitzvah of Achnasat Ochim, taking in the guests. And the Chafetz Chaim had discussed that taking in guests is greater than getting up early to go learn in a Beis Midrash. And then he pointed out that you have to say that means that there won't be anyone there to really take care of the guests. It doesn't literally mean that taking in guests is greater than learning Torah. The Aval Gav De'ita Bichtubot. What page are we on by you? Again? Reish Chet. And the standard edition, Reish Ayin He. And the Zeligman edition. And even though the Talmud tells us in Tractate Ketubot, Dimvatlin Tamutra Lotzat Amet, that when we need to honor the deceased, we would stop learning Torah in order to show our last respects. And that's even though there's someone there to take care of him. We're not talking about a person whose body is going to sit there and not be buried. You're talking about someone who will be buried, and there are enough people there to take him for burial. Nonetheless, out of respect, we stop our learning to walk and show our last respects. Kedita Shama Gemara, as the Talmud says over there. So that would seem to indicate that there are mitzvos that outweigh learning Torah. So the Chafetz Chaim says, yeah, the Gemara over there says it's talking about someone who learned Torah when he learned Torah. So then that's part of the respect you're giving Torah, just like you learn the Torah, you give respect by respecting those who learned Torah when they passed away, as the Talmud says there. The Talmud says someone who taught Torah, not only learned it, but taught it, so then there's no limit to the honor that he's owed. And the idea isn't a personal one. It's the idea of the honor we show the Torah. And if you have someone who, he didn't learn Torah. He's a regular average Joe. Didn't do anything special in that realm. So then we say, if he has, what's necessary? If there are enough people there to take care of his burial, provided you're not a relative, provided you don't owe him that respect for different reasons. But just the fact that someone passed away, we don't stop learning for that. As is recorded by the commentaries. Meaning, Rav Eliashiv dies. So everyone goes out. What do you owe Rav Eliashiv? You don't owe him anything. He never taught you anything. You never learned by him. Right, but the idea was, he's a person who taught Torah in Am Yisrael. So part of the respect we show the Torah is that all of us go out to his funeral. Well, you know what? Every day there are funerals going on. There's a funeral parlor around the corner, right? We don't go, we don't stop our learning to go and give everyone last respects. You'd never end your day. So the Talmud says, right, but hey, there are instances where you're showing respect to the Torah by stopping your learning and going to the funeral. If it's someone who taught Torah, so if you had some kind of connection to that, so then you go, Rav Eliashiv, everyone had some kind of connection to it. There were many issues that he ruled on that affect everyone. So everyone goes to the funeral. But the idea there, he says, is not because the mitzvah of going to a funeral is greater than learning Torah. It's that it's part of the respect you show the Torah. That when one who taught Torah passes away, we show that respect of going to the funeral. And even though you'll tell me burying someone is a biblical mitzvah, and it's a huge thing if you get to be the one who helps bring a person to burial, and this is one of the truest forms of kindness, you know, the guy's never coming back to pay you, right? Nonetheless, other people are going to take care of burying him, and there are enough people present to take care of the burial, so there's no reason to stop learning. And the same would hold true with regard to taking in guests. If there are enough people at home that are going to take care of the guest, there's no reason you should stop your learning to take care of the guests. The Talmud over there says we stop learning Torah to go and dance and make a wedding happy, to help the bride be happy in her wedding. So, oh, so that's a good question. We'll get to that.
Not too many guests to make a happy, and they come and ask you to.
Good. So that's what the Talmud says. When is this so? If there aren't enough people present to make him happy, but if there are enough people there to make the celebration happy and lively, don't stop your learning. And So he says, I would assume that it's going on all the examples. That when do I tell you to stop to do all these different mitzvos of kindness? That's when there aren't enough people there to take care of it, to take care of it the way they should. Just like the kala, the same would be true for a funeral. For all types of kindness, we say, if it's going to happen without you and it's going to be taken care of correctly, no reason you should stop your learning for it. If there aren't enough people there, it's not going to be taken care of the way it should. So stop your learning and go take care of it. And then he says in parentheses, he says, later on I found in the commentary, the Shittim Kubetzit over there, that there are different opinions about how to read that, whether it refers to everything or not, but that's not our point right now. Yes. I don't know of a source that deals with it directly. We do say in the blessing that there is the happiness of the chatan with the kala, the happiness of the chatan and the kala. Those are concepts that are given. We also have this idea of achnasat kala, which Chazal stressed and gave examples specifically of dancing before the kala. It seems there was a concept of an importance of making her happy en route to the wedding. It seems like there might be two different types of happiness. But again, this is me going on a limb. Going based on the sources, it seems like there's the dancing in front of her as she goes to the wedding, which was a way of making her happy. Don't forget, she's leaving her parents' house. Traditionally, the bride would go to the groom, they'd move into his town, they'd move into his neck of the woods. So this was her last event with her family. And men. So,
are you sure you got the one you wanted? Look what you're missing out on.
So, that's one aspect of being Mesamech Kala. It seems like just to make the event a happy one. And then there, it seems like the Mesamech Chatan is about making him happy with what he got. That the Simcha over there, Chazal stress complimenting the kala, telling him, "Boy, you're lucked out." Where? It's Braisa in Maseches Kala, the beginning of Maseches Kala, quoted in the Talmud in Maseches Ketubos. Okay.